Hello, everybody. Please take a seat. Welcome to our business session. It's just to lay the ground rules for the business session. This is a legal meeting, and our members are our credential holders, our PMCs and our OMCs. If you don't know what that means, then you're not one of our members. So when I ask for people to move and second various items, it's the PMCs and the OMCs who can do that. All of those people have the financials and the reports, etc., emailed to them, even again this morning, so it's at the top of your email list. And if you haven't got that and you would like to see the reports, there's 14 or 15 copies right now. I'm going to ask my trusty assistant, Sam Lando Cogger, Lando, to hand them out. So if you'd like a copy of the reports and the financials so you can follow on, there's not a million of them, there's about 14 of them, but hopefully if you want one, there'll be enough to go around. And it's over to Dave to start things off.
I've got my own. Well, thank you, Gus. Welcome to our business session. I can see you're all leaning forward on your seats. You're all anticipating big announcements. And because you can't wait any longer, I'm going to declare this meeting open. And I'm going to put my glasses on. Apologies, we've got an apology from Peter Shirley, who believed that he had COVID, but he doesn't. He just has the lurgy. He's been tested, but anyway, in being COVID safe, he's not with us. So he's very apologetic for being here. I'm just the minutes of the previous meeting. You're going to come and do that?
Yep. Hand it over to me.
All right.
I've got one. Thanks, Dave. Great job.
Didn't I do well?
You did.
Isn't that fantastic?
So we're keen to push this along, but if you do have any questions along the way, then feel free to interrupt. We also have Joel Philpott as an apology there. Thank you, Leonie. Any other apologies? Thank you. The minutes of the previous meeting last year were handed out to you via email. There are copies here if you want to refer to them, but can I have a mover and a seconder for the previous minutes from last year, please? Pastor Dermot Catulli is the mover and the shaker is Ray. Sorry, Michael. Yes, Michael, you've been a little bit too slow. Ray Sakaris for the seconder for that. Thank you. And now I'm going to hand back to Dave for the State President's Report. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Well, first of all, I would just, I would like to move a motion of thanks to our team, our executive team, who are absolutely fabulous. And, when you go through the ups and downs of different seasons in life and ministry and so forth like that, you know, there are times that, a team can be there and they're all working well and it's great. And then there are other times that you're so thankful that you've got good people around you. So I'm so thankful for our executive team. I'm so thankful for Pastor Gus Yearsley and all that he's brought over so many years and what he's carried. He is an absolute gift. He can actually do all this stuff without being a pain in the neck, which is absolutely amazing. It's a unique gift. So, thank you so much, Gus. But I just probably want to report on obviously the last 2 years. Really, you know, we're into 18 months or so almost now of a season where just things have been changing and moving all the time. And of course we've been a lot more blessed here in Tassie than other places, but even in that, it impacts. You know, it impacts security, impacts the decisions that can be made. It impacts how people are feeling and confidence, and all those things. So there's certainly, as an executive team, leading through that, and then being connected to, you know, our our nation and the movement at large, you know, where there are so many shifting sands, you know, it's been interesting times. So again, a big thanks to the team. A big thanks to all of you who lead our churches and have actually just stood strong through this, who adapted really quickly when we needed to, who stayed in connection with their people, who loved people, who did whatever they needed to do in the last couple of years to minister to people. And we're so thankful, and we just want to honour you and cheer you on as the absolute champions in this season. So you guys are amazing. I feel like we've come to the end of a season and are very much launching into another one. I'll talk a bit more about vision in the next session. But really, the last 7 or 8 years, things have changed a lot everywhere. They've changed a lot for what's required of churches. It's no longer just okay, you know, to have a bunch of people together, you know, meet in a lounge room, have no policies and just, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead us through and we'll be all right. You know that? And there was a time there was nothing wrong with that. That worked. But obviously we live in a time where if that's the way that we think, we're very vulnerable. And it's a time where we are so much better together. So as a result of that, we had numbers of churches and things like that that over the last 10 years were not really able to function in that sort of environment going forward. So we've been through a season where we've had to work through all those things. We've had to change a culture. We've had to change a lot of things as far as safer churches and policies and all that's gone on with that. And that's When we are people like you who are pastors, and what do we want to do? We want to see people saved. We want to see people set free. We want to see people disciple. We want to see a state turned around. And then, you know, and a lot of our time is spent looking at all regulations and safety, and it has to be done. Because if we walk away from that, we're in all sorts of trouble. But there's a frustration and a tension in that we've had to walk. But I believe that we've really made a big transition to adapting and moving into a new season and working through that, where I feel like we've got a base now that actually is there for us to launch into what's ahead. And in the next session, we're going to talk about, you know, our vision for the state and planting churches and some of the things that have happened. But I think we're in a great position now because of a lot of hard work that's been done, some tough decisions that have been made. All those things have happened and having to adapt to a new season and a new day. But we're ready for it. We're ready to take that on. So I'm pumped for what's ahead, but I just want to thank all of you for walking that journey and being part of that. I would actually like now, can Pastor Jacob and William, can you guys come up here? Now, if you ever get a chance, if you haven't already, you need to sit down and get these guys to tell you their story. Their story. You know, they, you know, Pastor Jacob, you know, spent quite a long time in, you know, in detention. I think was it Malaysia, you know, escaped from Myanmar as a refugee, and you know, stories about, you know, one page of the Bible that was all that they had in the jail, and just amazing things, and remained faithful, ministered. Touch lives, even in that place, arrived in a land that was different and a culture that was strange. And what did they do? They gathered people together. They preached Jesus. They planted a church, and they've got a strong church. They own a building. They are doing things. They are reaching the community. They are thinking generationally, and we're so proud of them. And I can actually announce that they are now a church of our movement. They've been through the whole process. So welcome. There you go. Multiplication. We are growing. We are building. And I believe, you know, these are guys that will continue to multiply. They'll continue to reach people. So We are so proud of you. Yeah. We love having you in our family. And just if you haven't got to know them already, take some time to get to know them, because they are absolutely quality people. You know, they're very sharp people to be able to negotiate all the things in a different culture and do it really well. So welcome officially to the family, and we're very, very proud of you. So thank you. A couple of things that have changes that are going on team-wise. Safer churches is one of the things that Gus has carried. And we've been trying to sort of look at the workload around that secretary treasurer role. And safer churches is actually a big role. But we've sort of been talking to different people about how we can do that. But I can actually announce to you that Rhonda... What's Rhonda's surname? Wilson. From Life Church. He's got a great deal of experience in that area, you know, in social welfare and all that sort of sector and the community sector, and understands this stuff really, really well. So she's going to carry that role for us as our Safer Churches officer. So she'll work with and serve the executive in that. And we'll circulate information about her and you know, put a face to the name and stuff like that. So when you need to engage with somebody, you know, you don't need your Safer Churches officer or the state officer until you need them. and then they're the main person you need to talk to. So she'll be really helpful in that. We're rapt to have her come on board. Another change is that you probably remember at the last, it was voting year last year, and Martin joined our team as treasurer, and so we've changed that a little bit. That's gone back to Gus, because Martin's got skills in other areas, and he's actually working a lot in, you'll hear in the next session, in church planning and church health. So we just wanted to actually allow Martin to function much more in his slipstream. From a, just so it's all out there clear. So that means he, because he actually hasn't had his credential a long time, he actually came on because we invited him ex officio, and the way that the constitution is and the laws are, it means that he will actually basically still remain in the team, but if it comes down to the laws, he's actually working with us in an observer capacity, which doesn't matter to all of you particularly, and he just works as a team member with us, because he's got so much to add, and we love having him on board, and we actually need Martin with us, so that's really important. So thanks for, you know, what you carried there, being willing to step up, and thanks for what you're carrying now, Martin. We're so privileged to have you with us. Another thing that's actually coming up too, and it's a national initiative that we're wanting to see rolled out across the nation. And it is the area of supervision. And some of you that have worked in professional areas would be well used to what supervision means and what it looks like. I would say that we're not very far away from that becoming something that is mandatory, that you can't be a pastor or somebody that works, you know, in a position responsible for people and those sorts of things without having official supervision. And the other thing about it is too, we've looked at, as a movement, the longevity of our pastors and making sure that, you know, that we're all in it for the long haul, that we're making sure that people don't, you know, needlessly burn out and you know, fall over when really it just took somebody to understand what was going on in a season and be with them and help them navigate some of those things. So what's going to happen there is we've actually set up as a movement a network of supervision, and obviously it does cost some money. But what we've done as a state is we've said that we're actually going to pay for supervision for all our senior pastors for how many sessions did we say, Gus? one session to get it started. And what we think is once you actually engage with that, you will see how beneficial it is. Because it's not supervision like, Matt, you know, how are your numbers? How are your stats? Are you growing? You know, you need to be doing better with your team, and you need to keep that Sam under more control. You know, it's not that sort of supervision. It is actually more in a coaching, counseling, working with you on who you are, how you carry the load that you have, and helping you work in a strategic manner through that. And it gives you a safe place to talk about things quite possibly you'll end up with a supervisor that may not even be in the state or something like that, which actually helps sometimes too, just to have somebody who's got some anonymity from your situation and our community, because all that's confidential. So I encourage you to engage with that. That's really important that we do that. And we're excited about where we go from here, and I will actually hand back to Gus now.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Let's give him a hand. With the previous minutes, I forgot to do the bit when I ask everyone in favour, please say aye. So everyone in favour of the previous minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
And to the contrary. Good. Thank you. So moving right along, we have the financial report. And as I said, there are copies available for that. And just to pull out a few key points from those. The first one is that we made a surplus last year of $14,500. And that was partly because we were in lockdown and we didn't spend as much on travelling to all the meetings that we have to go to, et cetera, et cetera. Our church dues were 37-ish thousand as opposed to 33,000 the year before. That's the bulk of our income. And so pretty much the same. One massive change was our insurance cost. And that's because of the National Redress Scheme. And the first plan that we were given was that all the states paid the same amount across the movement, which was $10,000 for us, which is about a third of our income from our church dues. So we went knocking on the door of Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland state executives, and they very kindly decided to split it four ways. So we have received $7,500 from across those three states, and we've paid $2,500. So all that's, or most of that's reflected in these financials, but some of it is in this financial year, so it wouldn't appear in these figures. But that's why the insurance cost is $5,700 as opposed to $400 the year before. So massive increase, and that's the National Redress Scheme. Conference costs last year were minuscule because of the fact that we were in lockdown and we had a one-day face-to-face meeting, but we didn't have the interstate guests and all the other costs we normally have with conference. So that was about one-fifth or so of our normal costs for our conference. So that's a big change from the year before. And the rest of the categories are pretty much the same as previous years, and nothing much has changed in the way that we do things and who we pay for what. So are there any questions about the finances? Thank you. If not, I'd like to move that they be accepted. And can I have a seconder of that, please? Matt Sharples. And all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And to the contrary, thank you. Moving on to the appointment of auditor. We have the same auditor. It's the movement's auditor. So the National Executive and all the state executives use the same auditor, but they've changed their name. So they were CB Audit, and now they're Platinum Audits. Same company, same people, just a name change. So I'd like to move that we appoint Platinum Audits as the auditor for this current year. And could I have a seconder for that, please? Mike Townsend. Sorry, Deb, too slow.
Too slow, Deb.
And all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And to the contrary, thank you. All the other reports will be taken as read unless anyone has a comment on those. They were circulated via email. Everyone's happy with those. Thank you. They're taken as read. And I'd like to move a motion of thanks to Josh Davey, who does our accounts and our bookkeeping for us and does a fabulous job. So can I have a seconder for that, please? Deborah, was that you? I thought it was. All those in favour, motion of thanks to Josh. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And the contrary, thank you. Meeting officially closed at whatever the time is. That's meeting number one. We have, oh, it's up there, isn't it? 11:36. Thank you, Leonie. We have two meetings because we have a second entity, which is ACC TAS Ministries. We had our first AGM for that last year, and Youth Alive sits within that. So pretty much this is the Youth Alive AGM, which I will now declare open at 11:37. And we've got the same apologies for that, please, Leonie. And the previous minutes were circulated. And can I have a mover and a shaker for the previous minutes from last year's ACC TAS Ministries meeting? Thank you. Matt Sharples is moving it. No, you weren't here.
No, I wasn't.
You were sick. You can't. That was me. He didn't put his hand up. A mover. Thank you, Laura. And a seconder. I'll second him. All those in favour for previous minutes for last year, please say aye. And to the contrary, thank you. We have a written Youth Alive report in the report. So that's the report from Matt. Thank you, Matt. Let's give him a hand for that fantastic report. Thank you. Financial report for ACC TAS Ministries. ACC TAS carried them, really, because we had a profit and they had a loss. So, you know, it all balances out. That's a joke, Matt. It's okay. It's okay. So there's a very funny, yeah. There's a deficit of about $10,000, and that is because there's some money that came in for a conference at the start of 2020. It came in 2019, and the expenses went out in 2020. So that was part of the reason for a loss. And the second thing was they got a TAS Christian Fund grant, and they spent that money. So that's why the money was going out the door rather than coming in over the 2020 season. So that's it for the finances. Any questions on the finances for Youth Alive? There's still money in the bank, which is on there at the end of last year, $31,000. That's not now. You've spent more since then. Don't get excited. Any questions on Youth Alive finances? I'd like to move that they be accepted. Could I have a seconder for that, please? Oh, bouncing out of your seats. Pastor Dermot, thank you, sir. And all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
I'd like to appoint the same auditor. I won't repeat the blurb, but I'll move that Platinum Audits be appointed as the auditor for ACC TAS Ministries. And a seconder, please. Thank you, Matthew. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And to the contrary. Meeting officially closed at 11:39. And back to Dave.
Thank you, Gus. You did that so well. I'd actually also like to, we've got Darren, who's sitting back there. Why don't you stand up, Darren, so we know who you are. Darren is an ACC minister. He and his wife, Jill. I couldn't remember if it was Jill. They've come to the state. They're actually working. Darren's taken up a job with Transformations and is heading up the program, the organization part of that. And I believe Jill's also working with Velocity. So, they're not directly in an ACC church. They've taken up a role, but Darren's really expressed that both of them wanted to be connected with the movement because that's their heritage from Queensland and been a big part of that. So welcome, mate. We love having you guys with us, so thank you. Earlier this year, I've been thinking about, you know, where do we go forward as a state? And I just, in my report, I talked a little bit about the changing times and where we were at. And what is it that we do? You know, what is it that we actually do as a movement? Because we could all be churches and we could all do our thing and we could do okay. But we choose to be part of a movement because we are better together. We've got covering, we've got safety, we've got vision, we've got energy, we've got future. And as you heard that amazing message from Pastor Mark, you know, that when we lay our threads down and the Holy Spirit crosses them over and something joins together, we are strong. We've got a net, we've got capacity to see this state saved, to see it discipled. How do we do it? Do we start a whole lot of programs? Do we start community initiatives? Do we do lots of evangelical rallies? Do we hire stadiums? You know, some of those things might happen, but ultimately the reason that I do what I do, the reason that Alex and I have, and a whole lot of you here, have stopped doing other things, have not taken up other opportunities that you might have had in life, is that we believe, as you do too, that the local church, the church of Jesus Christ, is the hope of the world. There's no plan B. There's no other way to reach people. And local churches transform communities better than anything else. Those of you who have traveled to the developing world and see what happens. See what happens when a local church goes into a village in Nepal where that has been steeped in Hindu culture that actually says, well, you live in poverty because you deserve to live in poverty because you were bad in your last life. So nobody wants to help them because they are just living out what they deserve. Whereas a local church comes into that community. Now this still applies in our cities and our suburbs and our areas too. A local church comes into that community and said, you are important. You are valued. You matter. You were created in the image of God. You have got a future. You are worth fighting for. You don't deserve to be battling with addiction. You don't deserve to stay in that brokenness. You don't need to perpetuate generational poverty because you have something in you that can actually change that. And local churches, more than anything else, actually change that. Because what do? They reach people where they are. They connect people to people, and ultimately they connect them to God, and they give people a purpose. That's why we do what we do. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples. Yeah. That's what we're about as a movement. That's what we do. We plant churches. We want to see churches wherever there are people, wherever there are people that need reaching. And we started to think about the next 10 years as a team. And we thought, what does that look like in Tassie? And the cool thing is, the Tassie, have you noticed that people don't tell the same amount of Tasmanian jokes that they used to?
Yes.
Good. Oh, I used to arrive at a conference. Oh, you're from Tasmania. Yeah, wow. Wow, how long ago did you leave? Well, actually, I got here, I probably left after you left from Western Sydney. I got on the plane and I flew up here. Oh, did you lose your head on the way out of the plane? You know, all those sorts of things. And I've noticed that stopped because you know what, people, there's an interest in this place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on.
It's actually gone. It's people have actually seen what we've always known.
Yeah.
People have actually seen what is here and people want to be here.
Come on.
Now, are we ready? People will come for all sorts of reasons. They'll come for safety. They'll come for lifestyle. They'll come for a new start. They'll come because they're broken. They'll come because they're running away. Have we got a net that is actually ready for them? Have we got a net that can actually hold those people, lift them up and see their lives transformed? Are we ready for that? And we started to say, well, what would that look like? What's a practical way we can think of where we want to be, where we need to be as a movement? And as a national movement, we've sort of got a goal that we'd like to see, you know, a church for about every 18 or 20,000 people. That's very easily sustainable. We could do a lot better than that, but that's not a bad goal. For a starting point. And we sort of put that aside as a team. And we started to think, what does it take? What does it take to sustain a local church? Now, I understand a local church can be all sorts of things. You know, it can be. You know, it can be a number of people, you know, that connect in a home and are connected to something else. It can be all sorts of things. But thinking about what's sustainable, what can multiply, what can actually produce. And we said, we think that every state high school has a population base that would sustain a local church.
Yeah, right.
And then when we did the numbers, it works out pretty much at about, when we looked at how many high schools are in the state, and that number comes pretty much smack on about every 18,000 people. So I think there's a state high school for every 18 or 20,000 people. Now, if you're in a town, start to think about how many state high schools are in your town, and then we can think about how many churches we could actually start to believe for as a starting point in that town.
Amazing.
Start to think about some of our you know, rural and outlying areas, and that's a challenge for us here in Tassie, because the population bases are not that large and they're spread. But think about where there's a state high school. For example, think about our Derwent Valley. You know, we've done some work as a church for a long time in New Norfolk, but there's a high school there. But there's also a high school at Glenora, and that has got certainly a community and a group of people that would sustain a local church. You know, what have we got down the channel, Pete and Sharon? You've got, where's the state high school? That you don't have one at Dover, do you? You have one at Jeeveston. You've got state high school at Dover. Yeah, so there you go. So that they've actually got two state high schools in the area that they are. So, you know, a very, very sustainable local church in one of our rural communities. So I just want us to start to think like that. And that will actually take us over the next decade, if we saw that realised, that would take us to 50 churches. Now, that sounds like a lot of growth, but it's over a 10-year period. And we understand that sort of thing, it starts slowish. It starts to move. But then as we get churches that plant with a multiplication culture and mindset, that we will see that move much faster. And we're also understanding that our population will grow and build. And I believe that there will be all sorts of people that will join us and that will be part of our team and part of what we're doing here in the future. So I want us to start to get that in our hearts. Even if you're a church and you think we're battling, we're struggling, how could we possibly plant a church? Don't worry about that too much. Just start praying for your nearest state high school that doesn't have a church, and see what God starts to do in your heart. See what God starts to do. See who God starts to bring into your world. See what starts to happen. It might not be you that plants there. It might be somebody else. But you've actually seeded something in prayer and vision. As soon as we got hold of this vision and started to really believe it and own it as a team, we're in a place now where, and Martin's going to come up right now after a video, but we've actually got about three churches almost immediately that are not just if, buts or maybes, that they are being planted and they're underway and they're starting. And that was before we have actually done anything that strategic. It was just as a result, I believe, of God showing us that when we take a step of faith, that he comes in and he starts to put wind in our sail. And I believe as we own this together, we'll be amazed at what God does. And he might even be speaking to people over this weekend, and he's stirring something in your heart for another community and getting a group of people together and starting to pray and believe for that. And so we're going to just watch the screen now, and then Martin's going to come and speak to us.
We're planting a church in Devonport. My wife Miriam and I, some friends of ours, we felt led and called by God to start something new in our city and in our region, and we're excited about the possibilities of what that might look like.
Hello, my name is Joel, and this is my wife Bree, and we are planting a church in North Hobart and excited to join the ACC Tasmania family.
We are planting a church in Hobart, Tasmania. My name is Graham Shan from Aspire Church in Melbourne, and we are so excited about this new initiative. And I'm going to now hand over to Edita Rodrigo, who's the one who is leading the way with this great new initiative. God bless you.
Hello, everyone. I am Edita, along with my wife. I'm currently leading the Sri Lankan service at Aspire Church in Melbourne.
Hi, my name is Martin Norovic. I'm the pastor at Enjoy Church in Hobart, which is located in Kingston. And we're looking to plant a second location in Hobart. And the place that we're looking to plant that church is in the northern suburbs of Hobart. and it's in the city of Glen Orchy.
Actually, a big part of our journey was a few years ago at an ACC conference. We got a prophetic word from someone that said that we would go on a transition in the next 2 to 3 years and that we would start and establish something new. And really, we're just saying yes to that calling, saying yes to that prophetic word, saying yes to that journey, and yes to whatever God has for us. So it's an exciting journey. We don't know what the next 12 months could look like, what the possibilities are, but we're just believing that, that God will blow us away with what is ahead of us.
At the beginning of this year, we heard the call of God to move our family to Hobart to plant a church. To be honest, at the very beginning, we weren't thrilled with the idea because church planting was never something that we saw in our future. However, the call has been confirmed on several occasions, and we know that it's really good for us and really good for the church.
Last year, we felt like God is leading us as a church to start a ministry for Sri Lankan people in Tasmania. We have a couple of families from our Sri Lankan service who moved to Hobart in the last couple of years. So we reached out to them, and they were so keen on starting a small group in Sinhala. So we started reaching out to Sri Lankan Sinhala-speaking people in Hobart at the beginning of this year. Currently, we are connecting as a home group gathering once a month in Hobart. Although we have been flying once a month to host meetings from Melbourne, we have faced a couple of obstacles in the last few months as we were unable to travel due to COVID lockdown. But thank God for technology. We could connect online when we were unable to be there physically.
It would have been 2.5 years ago that God put it on our hearts as a team to look to go there. You know, we started already having some people from that part of Hobart start to attend our church. It's always been on our heart to be church planters and church builders, but we're passionate about seeing the church planted and seeing churches planted.
At the moment, we're just gathering together with a small group of people on Sunday afternoons to pray, just to continue to make his presence a focus, make getting into prayer a focus, and just, I guess, the insight from God about what comes next.
Yeah, we're still in very early stages at the moment. We're meeting weekly on Zoom for a prayer meeting. But we're right now really hoping to move across to Hobart from Melbourne, relocate our family as soon as we can find a home.
Currently, where we're at now in the church plant is we sort of have a bit of our plan that we've put into place is before we actually launch any services or any expression of interest services or whatnot, our plan is to have 4 small groups. And also start a regular community initiative that where we're engaging with the community on a regular basis. And we're starting to explore what a community initiative would look like. So we're actually engaging with the community. So for us, the place we're at now is we want to be building community and reaching community.
The possibilities are endless. Who knows where we'll be in 12 months' time, but we're excited about the opportunity, excited about the journey, and believing that God has gone before us in every step of what we're setting out to do. So, thanks.
We're excited to be joining with what God is already doing amongst the churches in Hobart. Numa Church, the church that we're a part of, has a rich 90-year heritage of church planting, making disciples, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're expectant and really believing that God's going to use us significantly to advance his kingdom across the nations.
We are looking forward to connecting with you in the future to advance God's kingdom in Tasmania. God bless you all.
You know, what we're believing for, souls to be saved. And what we're dreaming for is a church to be established in that area. So we can't wait to see what God has in store. So God bless. Bye for now.
All right. How exciting is that, eh? Who's pumped? Who's ready to plant some churches? Come on. I feel like Tony Robbins, you know what I mean? Come on, Tony Robbins, yeah! You can. Hey, really cool thing. Joel and Bree are actually moving at the end of September. Yep. So they've secured a house to lease, and they're going to be living in Lindisfarne. So when you meet them, make sure you take them out for coffee, buy them a meal, and it'll be absolutely awesome. Hey, let's get up for Pastor Dave. I love the vision and what's happening. 50 ACC churches in Tasmania. And it's really cool to hear what God is doing with these new church plants that are in the works in and around Tasmania. So a bit about us. We've been now almost in Hobart for 4 years. It's crazy. Time flies. And before we were in Hobart, we were in a place called Bendigo. Anyone know where Bendigo is? It's the geographical center of Victoria, and we were there for 7 years, and we planted a church. And so we never planted a church before that. I'm actually a plumber by trade. I was running a family air conditioning business, and I was asked if I would move from Melbourne to central Victoria to go and plant a church. Zero church planting experience, zero idea, but I thought, why not? Awesome. Why not? And so we gave it a crack, and we actually had an amazing time. We absolutely loved it. And then obviously God has now God called us out of Victoria to the great state of Tasmania. Yeah? To the great city of Hobart. And so I love what God is doing. And you know, and we were a part of the whole, you know, church planting experience where, you know, we had 7 buildings within the first 4 years, and we got kicked out of buildings. In fact, I heard the police came today and told us, well, too loud. Come on. Yes. May more police come and tell us we are too loud for all of us. Praise God. But I love the 50 church vision. Who knows it's a big vision? Right? It is a big vision. It is a bold vision. It's a faith-filled vision. It's an exciting vision. But who knows? It also sounds like a lot of hard work. Right? Church planting isn't for the faint-hearted, but church planting is a lot of hard work. But church planting, I think, is one of the greatest things that you can put your hand to. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to take all of us, not just those who are just going to plant churches. It's actually going to take each and every one of us who are a part of the ACC to make this happen. We can all play our part in church planting. So I just want to just share for the next few moments about how we can all play our part. And the question I want to ask today, is church planting for you, is church planting for me a forethought or an afterthought? Is church planning for me a forethought or an afterthought? You know, I want us all to take one step forward today towards church planning. Just one step. We're not asking you that tomorrow you need to go plant a church. For some of you, yes. But for maybe not for you, just take one step towards church planting today. So let church planting be a forethought, not an afterthought. And the word afterthought means something that is thought of or added later, but the word forethought means careful consideration of what will be necessary or may happen in the future. So what decisions am I making today? What considerations am I making today to make church planting happen a reality in our state? Amen? I want to read a scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. So these men, they understood the signs of the times, and they took the best course for Israel to take. Who knows that we need to understand the times we're living in? And we've heard that a bit over the last couple of days. We need to understand the times we're living so we know the best course we need to take. We need to understand the times we're living in globally. I love hearing the Sri Lankan service that they're still been operating despite being locked down in Melbourne, but they're still engaging and connecting via Zoom. It's really exciting. So we need to understand the times we're living in globally, nationally, and in our state. Now I'm just going to read some 2016 census stats because our 2021 stats haven't been released yet. And so our 2016 census stats are that in Tasmania there were 589,999 people. I think that makes sense, yeah. Right, so there are over 500,000 people that call Tasmania home. Of that over 500,000 people, 253,183 identified as Christians. It's a lot, right? But of that 253,000, only 5,317 identified as Pentecostal. right? Now, who knows that Pastor Wayne encouraged all of us. Hopefully you wrote in the census this year that you are Pentecostal, right? But so we're probably going to see an increase in that. But there's still a huge gap between those who identify as Christian and those who identify as Pentecostal. And so so that means that there are 173,773 people. I got it. Maths wasn't my strong stuff, just to be honest, right? It still isn't, right? So over 190,000 people clearly identified as no religion. No religion, okay? So who knows that we have a lot of work to do. We need to understand the times that we're in, and then we need to work out which is the best course that we can take. So we all know that Tassie is also a growing state, and it's a place that people want to visit, be a part of, people want to move to. I mean, think about in your church, how many people in your church that have joined the church in the last maybe say 3 years either have moved from interstate or are from interstate. There are a lot of overseas too. There are a lot of people moving to our state from all parts of the world. So we need to understand the times and the great opportunity that we have to reach over a couple hundred thousand people with the gospel, with the good news, and the conduit for the gospel is the local church. Amen? So we need more churches because we have more people to serve, we have more people to reach, we have more people to get saved, we have more people to disciple. And so I just want to just share just really briefly about what part we can all play in church planting. Because you can actually all play a part today. You can all play a part in church planting. So the first point, the first thing that you can do in church planting is you can plant a church. I know that's like, whoa, this guy is just full of revelation today. It's what I do, right? I'll say it again. You can plant a church. You can actually do it. I can tell you, with a 26-year-old, so in our, I'll still consider that mid-20s, in our mid-20s, with two little kids and no idea, we moved to country Victoria, a place that we've never even visited before, and we went and planted a church. We went from multicultural western suburbs of Melbourne to one of the most Anglo places in Australia and planted a church, right? And so if we can do it, guess what? I reckon you can do it as well. Amen. There's a process. There is a process when it comes to church planting, but indulge me for just a moment. Today, think about a town. Think about a suburb that doesn't have an ACC church. Think about a place somewhere within Tasmania that doesn't, you know, I mean, who, I know how many people visit the east coast of Tasmania. You know what I mean? There's no ACC church. Whole east coast. You know what I mean? I mean, Bishano would be a pretty cool place to live, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? St. Mary's has a really good skate park. As you could tell, I like skateboards. But anyway. But think about it. Where isn't there an ACC church? And what part can you play? Like Pastor Dave was saying, pray for that high school, right? What part can you play to see an ACC church there? Just want to let you know that early next year that we're going to have a church planting roundtable. And so stay tuned. You're going to get some more information about that. So the first thing you can do is you can plant a church. The second thing is you can raise up church planters. You might not have the capacity right now to go and plant a church, but what you could do is you could raise up some church planters. Amen? So how am I developing as a senior pastor, as a leader, how am I developing leaders in my church to be the next wave of church planters? Because you understand, right, we don't have enough churches right now that if we multiplied would have 50. So we need to be raising a wave of church planters in our state. Amen. So I can play my part by developing leaders, by developing pastors, by developing preachers, by developing teachers, by developing evangelists. And so ask this question, who is sitting in my church right now that can be the next church planter? And I guarantee you might be able to find 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who's sitting in your church that could go and plant a church? The third thing is we need to be releasing people into planting, right? We can't just raise them up and keep them to ourselves. Amen. Yeah. It's actually about raising up and then releasing people into planting. So when we identify who in our churches, who can be the next church planters, it's my responsibility, obviously, to develop them, but then also to release them. So how can you do that? Well, one of the things that you could potentially do, have you ever thought about you might have a one church in one location. Have you ever thought about being a multi-site church? It's like, oh, that's an interesting thought. Maybe you can think about that, become a multi-site church. Maybe it's also releasing a key leader in your church if you identify an area, maybe releasing someone into a autonomous church, into their own church, whatever it might be. But think about these things, and there's going to be more of this information when we have this round table. The last thing is, when it comes to church planting, this is something we can all do, is we can contribute to other church planters. So we might not be ready to plant a church. Maybe we're not in a place to, maybe we haven't identified who can be a church planter in our church right now. But one thing we can do is we can contribute to other church planters. We may not be in a season to plant a church right now, but there's some things you can do to play your part. So one thing you can do is you can give directly to other church planters. Yep. That's a good idea.
Yep.
Maybe think about someone who's planting a church and say, all right, how can we contribute as a church to those church planters? There's another thing that you can do as an ACC here in Tasmania. Tonight we're actually going to be taking up an offering for church planting. Amazing. Right? And so maybe after these sessions, go and speak with your board and ask them, all right, what do we want to contribute to church planting? Because as a state, we want to sow into church planting as well.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, what can you do? You can give directly to other church planters. You can give tonight as we take up an offering. But another thing you can do is be a church planter cheerleader. Right? Be a church planter cheerleader. Yeah. Right? Pray for them. Call them. Celebrate them.
Right.
Champion them. I remember when we moved to Hobart with our family, we were so blessed by the welcome that we got. And so, I think I mentioned it before, but just thank you to each and every one of you for making us feel so welcome and feeling at home and feeling loved. And we felt like there were other people that championed us and they were our cheerleaders. And let's be that to other church planters as well. Amen. So what next? Well, info will be emailed out to all credentialed pastors regarding church planting. There will be some information being sent out about the round table, which will be early next year. We want to equip church planters. We want to actually bring people in who have planted churches before to equip you, and that'll be great. Also, if you want to know more, maybe speak to one of our state executive. Come speak to me. Let's start the journey, start the process, and that's it from me. So let's give a round of applause. Let's welcome back up Pastor Dave Morse.
No worries. Thanks, Martin. That's brilliant. You're starting to catch it, because we can all play a part. We can all play a part in seeing Tassie saved. And I think, you know, we can sit here and we can think, oh, gee, it's harder, isn't it? Things have got harder politically. Things have got harder. And there's more stuff going on. You know, stuff's closed. Or we can actually say, you know what? I'm here for a time such as this. You know, the circumstances are never meant to determine the vision that we have. I believe that God determines and puts vision in our heart that actually changes the circumstances and changes the state. And I really believe that we can do that. And so let's start to carry that. Let's start to own it. As we take up that offering tonight, that's about us, you know, putting our money where our mouth is and believing in that. What I can actually say is that Victoria have actually very generously actually kick-started that fund. So Victoria have actually put 10 grand into our church planting fund as a start off. So let's make sure that as Tasmanians that we hold our end up too, and that we really believe and we actually take some steps of faith into this. And I just believe even as we give into that, some of you might be thinking, oh, I don't know if church planting's for us, or we could do that, or gee, I'd like to plant a church, but you know, we don't have the team. I don't think any of us have the team. Who's like Martin? They're going to plant in Glenorchy. And, you know, how many spare people do you have here in the Kingston campus? And you know what they actually did just recently is that they actually sent one of their most promising upcoming leaders who perhaps might have been able to carry a church plant for them, that they sent them to actually lead a church in Victoria. So, you know, that we're never in a position where we think we've got it all. We're never in a position where we've got enough. But we've always got to take those steps of faith, and we've got to have that mindset that not do stupid things, but as we posture ourselves and position ourselves, that God actually comes through and he actually fills our sail. You know, you can go out in a sailboat, you know, in a yacht. I did a little bit of sailing at one point in my life. And you know, I've been out there where there's no wind at all. I remember racing this winter series on the Mersey River, and each week we went out, there was just no wind. It was so frustrating. But the thing is, what we did have is we did have a mast and we did have sails and we had a great big spinnaker. And I remember the last race of the series, we're out there and not much was happening, and all of a sudden the weather changed. And we were in a catamaran that when the wind came up in strong winds, it was much faster than the other boats. And we were coming dead last in this race. And I remember we were sailing out towards Wright's Island off Devonport, and then we had to go over to Ulverston. And as we're sailing, almost just getting out of the mouth of the Mersey River, some of the other boats are coming back from Wright's Island. That's how far we are behind. But we got around Wright's Island, and the wind changed, and we put the spinnaker up, and we just went, excuse me, hell for leather. We just absolutely caned it all the way across to the mouth of the Leven River, and we got back and we won the race. You see, but if we didn't have a sail, if we didn't have a spinnaker, if we actually didn't believe, we wouldn't be there to catch the wind when it comes up. And I believe as we set our sails, as we get the right rigging, as we're prepared for that, the Holy Spirit will come through and he will fill the sails. People are coming into the state. There is all sorts of things that are going to happen beyond what you can actually see right now. But we've got to set the sail. We've got to create the net. We've got to lay down the threads. We've got to do this together. It's going to take all of us and each of us. It's going to take all of us and each of us. We've all got a part to play. And I'm just looking forward to sometime in the future. We're setting 10 years on this. But to think, wow, look what God's done. Because we set the sail. We had the right rigging. We laid down the threads. And the Holy Spirit came and wove the net. And we've seen amazing things happen in this state of Tasmania. Are you ready for it? So come on, let's pray about how we can start with an offering. Pray about how you can actually just start to shift a mindset and get ready for what God's going to do in this state. Because you are an incredible strategic part of what he wants to do. Thank you, Martin. That was fabulous. And yeah, if a plumber can do it, a lawyer can do it, an auto electrician can do it, you can do it. So let's be ready for what's happened. Even a sawmiller can do it, can't they, George? Actually, I've got a moment. I want to honour George. Are you able to come and join us? Just can you? I just want to take a moment to really honour our emeritus pastors, and you know, I can see Danny and Winston and Mari sitting there together, and you know, just thank you for the heritage that we stand on right now. I've actually got at the moment are my parents here, and we've actually got Dad applying for a credential in his sprightly years, as they, you know, have really taken on a seniors ministry and, you know, a Thursday morning at our church that's vibrant and full of cakes and life and food and all sorts of people. You know, that's like we said, it's not, age is not a thing. And thank you, George, for what you've carried. Thank you for your, I know you have had more than anything, you've had this heart for evangelism. When George was part of our church, he started going into nursing homes and sharing the gospel. And George would come back to me every single week and tell me how many people got saved in the nursing homes. And he was keeping a tally. And you know, some of those people, he was sharing the gospel with them, you know, sometimes just days before they went home. That's right. And you know, he wasn't deterred. And then, you know what he did? He went and planted a church. And then he planted another church. Mm-hmm. And here he is with that sort of sawmilling, pioneering spirit that you know, I think we could all do well to catch a little bit more of that sort of spirit. So we thank you for what you've brought, who you are, George, and we know that you'll be cheering us on while you're with us. We know that you'll be cheering us on in eternity.
Can I start another one?
No, start another church. Yeah. You can talk to Matt. You can talk to Pastor Matt about that. Yeah, you would too, wouldn't you, George?
I sort of haven't got down to the walking stick stage yet.
Yeah. Thank you, George. Give George a big hand. Just to show some honour. That's awesome. All right, why don't you stand up, have a stretch, do the Tassie two-step.